Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
11 after the hour 4. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Moyo.
Good afternoon. How are you, Zama?
Very well, thank you, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It's good to hear from you. A happy new year to you.
Lovely compliments of the year, man. It's the first time we're speaking. Is the year treating you well so far?
So far, so good. I mean, it's another year, but hey.
Lovely.
We're just glad that God has brought us into it.
I'm happy that we...
And I don't know how it is on your end.
It's good. It's a slow start, but a start nonetheless. And we're hoping that the God is going to be with us throughout the year. Now, let's get into our discussion this afternoon. Our VOP lesson, Voice of Prophecy lesson, talks about the earth cleansed and made new. And of course, over the last few weeks, we've talked about the events after the second coming of Christ, the millennium, judgment, and finally the end of sin. From the ashes of this cleansing fire, God will then create a new world. Now, please give us a summary then of this current lesson that we're talking about today. What did John see in his vision?
So I think the best place to go to would be to go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 to 5 to see what the prophet John said for himself in Revelation. If you don't mind, I can read that out. Is that fine with you, Zem?
That's okay.
All right. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I'm reading from Revelation 21, verse 1 to 5. Mm. So, yes, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
Yeah.
I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Zama, I don't know if you can even picture a place like that where you're talking about. And one of the things that's the most beautiful over there, it doesn't talk too much about the details of what it looks like, not right there. But one of the things that does come up very plainly is that idea of there is no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. I don't know if we can even picture a world like that, Zama. It's hard to picture because of the world which we live in. But this is what God, this is the thing that makes it even more beautiful, is the fact that it is God who cannot lie, who does not lie, and who cannot lie, who's the one who's promising this. And he's saying that there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And behold, God has made all things new. So we recognize that this is maybe for us, we don't see it that way. But remember that God's goal is restoration. It's not just about fixing up and little things here and there. No, it's a restoration, bringing it back to what God's initial purpose for creation was in the first place, a place without sin. And Zama, if I may ask you a question, what do you look forward to when you think of heaven, when you think of the new earth? What do you look forward to?
Man, I must tell you the truth. I'm looking forward to a place without sin.
Yeah.
For me, because
I think at the center of
all our troubles, man, it's sin.
So imagine that, we're a place with no sin. And imagine, this is not something that God just says that. No, this is something that you have to imagine about, and that's it. No. He's saying that this is real. This is something that he has planned out for you and I, for eternity, for everyone, actually, but everyone who wants to be in that earth made new. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to have to be freed from selfishness, from freed from sickness, to be freed from suffering. And this is the idea that comes forward. We have a whole universe to explore, wonderful relationships to develop, and an eternity with Jesus Christ. If you asked me, what am I looking forward to? It's to meet Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. And this is something I really look forward to. I don't know whether I'll have to wait in line. I don't. But then even if I have to wait in line for eternity, just to see him, I have no problem with that. After all, we have an eternity of exploration and developing relationships without having to hold back on love. So that's the idea that comes forward. It's the idea that the curtain on this world, on this selfish, greedy world, will have passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a new beginning. So that's what we're looking at, really, Zama. And I wanted to ask you the question: if you have, with that in mind, would we then not want to fight for heaven? I mean, there is a heaven to win. There is a new world to win. We're not going to be stuck in eternity in a way that we live an eternal life with sin. That would be torture. But a sinless, perfect, unselfish, and beautiful world in which God actually wants to bring us back. But the beautiful thing, when we look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and verse 7, it says, the government will be upon his shoulders, that is on Christ's shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
So will we continue then to live in heaven perpetually, or what happens then?
So the idea that it's not even the idea that we come up with, it's what the Bible says, is that there is heaven, and then after being in heaven with Christ and with God for 1,000 years, after that the new Jerusalem comes down, and that's the new heaven and the new earth, or rather the earth made new. And so from then on, it's forever and ever. And actually, I guess we really don't understand what eternity means.
Yeah.
Eternity is exactly that. It's a world without end.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of, we're not talking about the way it is here on earth, where a ruler has a limited amount of time to rule. When we look at the eternal kingdom of God, we're talking about forever, an everlasting kingdom. And that's a world without end.
Yeah.
So that's what basically it is. I think it's kind of hard. I'm trying to find a way to be able to picture it. But then I understand it, because that's what God has said he will do, and I believe his promises. But a world without end is something that we can't even fathom. However, this is God's original plan for us. Now, if you don't mind me saying this, Zama, if we actually have the opportunity to be able to be in this world that's just pain and suffering and tears and greed and selfishness, if there's anything that you would that you would want to leave behind, what would it be, Zama?
Man, you know, as you're asking this question, I'm thinking, before I come to that, you know, you're talking about a beautiful new world. Is it realistic, though? Like, I mean, this world is so huge, it's big, and in this world, there's galaxies and planets, and now a new world? Is it realistic?
So that's the thing. Is it realistic? I find it quite interesting that when it comes to, it is realistic. It's not only is it realistic, it's reality.
Oh, okay.
But I'd want to put it this way as well. Can we wrap our heads around it?
Yeah, that's what I want to come to.
we can barely wrap our heads around the galaxies that are around us now. So the other question is, if we cannot wrap our heads around it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Okay.
If we were to think about it this way, when a child is being born, the fact that a child, a mother is bearing a child, there's a very good verse that actually picks out and says, can you even fathom how it is that a child is in the womb and how its bones all come together and how all the machinery of life comes together inside of another human being? The mysteries of life that we're still trying to study out. Scientists have been studying it for millennia, I mean, for years. I guess millennia is correct.
Yes, it's correct.
But we still can't fathom it. However, does that mean that life has continued to go on? It has. And so we come to that as well. When God, who does not lie, who says that I have put eternity in the hearts of men, and says that I have no need to lie to you. When I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Now, just because we can't picture it, it doesn't mean that it does not exist. And not it may be for our minds. We might think it's beyond our imagination, but it doesn't mean it's not reality. Reality sometimes is much better, and especially in this case.
I mean, it's like you're talking about creation new creation altogether. And I'm thinking when God created the world, everything came into place. Now, this sounds like recreation, as it were.
I like the way that you've put it. Yes, recreation, restoration. And that's the idea that God has in mind the whole time, is the idea of not just fixing things, but restoring, bringing back to its original form.
So with this world in a new place, I mean, in a new state, etc., what is the management going to be like? Is God still going to be in charge?
Yes, he will. And thank God that God will be in charge. I don't think I'd want to be in a government ruled by anyone else. But let me not put it in my own words again. Isaiah chapter 9 actually tells us, the government will be upon his shoulders, and then the one who will have authority will be Christ and will be God. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And to his kingdom there will be no end. So yes, we won't be under the rule of some tyrannical dictator, I think is the word I'm looking for. But rather, we'll be in the government of love. Of one who actually cared enough to die for us, lay his life on the line for us, live for us and die for us, and come right back to save us. So he will be the one in charge. Thank God that God will be in charge. I don't think, again.
You know, as you're saying this, Domsani, I'm thinking, somebody once said that if you're going to be doing something the same time all the time and you're expecting for a change or a different result, it's a sign of madness.
Now, it's insanity.
Yeah, it's insanity. Now, God created this world, put up his management and everything. Now he's redoing the thing. Are you saying that everything is going to be the same? No change of strategy at all?
So there's two things I'd like to put forward from that question. The question is whether things will things be the same. When you ask that, and I need clarification, when you say the same, do you mean will things be exactly as they are now?
No. When God created from the very instance,
yes.
He created human beings and made the world as he made it. And he said it was perfect.
Yes.
Because I mean, it says after each time he saw and he said, it was good. It was good.
Good.
And every day it was good. It was good, and it sounds that when he's now recreating, nothing is going to be different. World exactly as it was before sin, everything in place as it was before sin. I mean, it looks like we've been here before.
It sounds like we're just going to, are we sure we're not going to repeat the same mistake?
Exactly.
I didn't want to preempt that question because I was like, am I sure that's what he's asking? But I love that the Bible has an answer for us. In the book of Jude, it actually says that sin, no, I don't, I believe it's not Jude. I believe it's the book of Nahum. But it says, and sin shall not arise a second time. Actually, this is the reason why we've had the great controversy play out the way it has between Christ and Satan, is because God is trying to establish and making sure that he establishes the new kingdom in such a way that even when even while we still have the ability to choose for ourselves, when we still have the ability to have free will, we will choose, and those who are in that kingdom, by the way, will choose to say, this is exactly where we want to be. We have no need for sin to arise a second time. After this entire, I guess you could say, experiment that has played out, after everything that we've seen about sin, it's almost like when a child touches a hot plate or touches a fire, when they touch the fire, after that, when they've burnt themselves, they realize, I don't think I want to go through that again. This is exactly what kind of kingdom God has established after this entire controversy has played out. Is a kingdom that will be established that will have no end, and there will be no desire for sin at all. And so, have we been here before? Actually, it would be even better because of the fact that it will be established for eternity. That indeed God is just, God is merciful, and God is love. And we will choose, not by our memories being wiped away, or because God has played some kind of trick on our minds that we forget, but that we choose to say, you know what, I'd rather live in this world like this than... And enjoy it, not even rather, but it would be our choicest choice to be there with the God who loves us and who we love. And so, yes, there is always that thought to say, but aren't we just going to go around in circles? No, the Bible lets us know, and God lets us know that no, it won't be about going around in circles, because the kingdom will be established upon eternal grounds.
Now, somebody may be listening and saying, sounds interesting, and you spoke now about choices. How do I make a choice that's going to ensure that I'm in that place?
So, the beautiful thing about it is that everyone has the ability to make this choice. It's not limited to certain people. It's not limited to a few people, but one of the most famous verses in the world, John 3:16, lets us know exactly how we may be able to get that ticket into that place.
Yeah.
And that is John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So that's the ticket already. He already gave that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, which is the other side that we'll probably talk about tomorrow, about the other side of it. But it says, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so if you've placed your life in Jesus' hands, you don't need to have to experience the other side of that, of perishing. But that one of eternal life is actually put forward to say, why would you want to be outside of that city? Why would you want to be outside of that opportunity to be with a loving God, one who cares for you, and to be with your loved ones, even those who you would want to be with? That as soon as we put our hands in Christ and we abide in him, the ticket is ours. It's going to be a tough road because we're still here on this earth. But even then, heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough. And all of us have that opportunity. If only we would say yes to that man, Jesus Christ, who says, come to me, and I will give you rest.
Beautiful one, man. We have to leave it there. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and the same place. Fantastic conversation for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Zaman. Thank you so much, dear listener.
Thank you. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.